Amen. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 19, where the Bible reads here, "The churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla. Salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." And the title of my sermon this evening is, "Let him be anathema." Let him be anathema. Now, there are times in the New Testament where Aramaic phrases are purposely placed within the Greek New Testament. And even in the Greek New Testament, though it's written in Greek, you'll find often phrases that are not Greek. They're Aramaic, and simply for the fact that they chose not to transliterate it, they just left it as is. Go to Mark chapter 15, if you would. Mark chapter 15, I'll read to you from Mark 5:41, where the Bible reads here, "And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." So we see that taking place there in Mark chapter 5 and verse 41. But we also see it in Mark 15 and verse 34, where the Bible reads, "At the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So two examples right there is perfect. And really goes to show that, of course, Jesus Christ spoke Greek, but he also spoke Aramaic. Now, my personal belief is that was his native language, was Aramaic. You say, why is that? Well, because In Mark chapter 15 and verse 34, that's the language he speaks when he's in great trial of affliction. You know, often you can tell the native language of someone based upon what language they speak when they react to something, or when they're in great trial, or if they're mad at you or something. What language do they curse you in, right? Or what phrase do they use? What language do they use to talk to you in? Let me give you an example of this. You may have a mom who speaks English. But when she's mad at you, what language does she curse at you in? A Romanian? I already knew he was going to say Romanian. So it's the heart language. Well, that's the same thing that we see here with the Lord, is that he's speaking in Aramaic. That's his heart language. So yes, he probably did speak, obviously he spoke Hebrew, because the scriptures were in Hebrew, but more than, and he spoke Greek as well, because you see that he's in that region where Greek was very prominent, but I'm sure he also spoke Aramaic. Now, 1 Corinthians 16 is an example of that. The only difference between 1 Corinthians 16 and Mark 4, Mark 15, is that it doesn't give the interpretation of what anathema, maranatha means. Now, before we get into the sermon, what is maranatha? Well, I don't know, okay? In fact, the Bible never tells us. In fact, anathema, maranatha, this is the only time that that's used in the entire Bible. Now, there's people who speculate what maranatha means. I've heard it in Bible college where people say, well, it means Lord, come, okay? And I'm not necessarily against that, but I don't know. Okay, I don't know the language, so I'm not sure if that's exactly what it means. However, anathema, I can tell you what that means. It means to be cursed. Now, you say, well, how do you know that? Well, if you're simply to look on dictionary.com what anathema means, it'll give you that definition of being cursed. But more than that, if you're to read a Spanish version of the Bible, often the word that they use instead of cursed is anathema, which means anathema. Okay. For example, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 8, where someone preaches another gospel, it says, let him be accursed. In Spanish, it says, sea anathema, which means let him be accursed. Okay. So that's simply the way we can figure out what that word means. Maranatha, we're going to leave that alone tonight because I don't know what that means. However, I do know what anathema means, which means curse. So what is Paul the Apostle saying there in 1 Corinthians 16, 22? He just decides to finish off the entire chapter and say, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be cursed. Let him be anathema, maranatha. And then he finishes it off right there. Now, that's in stark contrast from what you see in Christianity today, don't you? Yeah. Now, let's say, no, don't curse anybody. That's not right for you to curse anybody. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul is saying right there, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be cursed. Amen. You see, we live in a society today where Christianity is just like, we got to win everyone by any means necessary. Now, I agree that we have to reach everyone with the gospel. Amen. But once they reject it, once they say they hate God, once they reject Bible, clear Bible doctrines and teachings, let them be anathema. Amen. You know, there shouldn't be the sympathetic society and culture that we have in Christianity. Or is it, well, just pray for those heretics and pray for those false prophets. No, let them be accursed. Amen. If that's what they want, let him be accursed. Amen. Okay. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Oh, we shouldn't curse anybody. You know, we ought to pray for them to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's impossible because the Bible tells us that they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, we got to understand that the Bible teaches us that there is such thing as a point where you can get too far where you're not going to get saved. You can get to a point where it's just too late for you to get saved. The Bible obviously refers to that as being a reprobate, but what does that look like? It looks like someone who, when you give them clear teachings of the Bible, you explain to them John 3:16, you explain to them about the Trinity, you explain to them about simple doctrines that the Bible's clear about, and they reject it. You say, well, let them be anathema then. Why am I going to waste my time explaining a doctrine to a person that they don't, if they don't want to adhere to it? Now, are we going to preach doctrine over and over again in this church? Absolutely, because there's more to learn in these doctrines. But here's the thing. We all agree with these doctrines.
Amen.
Okay? We all understand that these doctrines are true, but I'm talking about the person who's just like, I don't get it. And it's like, okay, well, here's another verse. Well, in the Bible, it says that after the second and third admonition, reject.
Amen.
Why? Because according to the Bible, they're heretics.
Yep.
What's a heretic? Someone who's anathema.
Amen.
Okay? Why? Because the Bible says that they have subverted, they have undermined the Word of God. It's going through one ear and out the other. Their conscience is seared according to the Word of God. Why is that? Because they've been rejected. They're reprobate concerning the faith.
Amen.
But it says there, if any man love not the Lord, let him be anathema. Well, you know, obviously we've met people out so many who don't love the Lord. Okay? But I don't think it's referring to just anybody who doesn't love the Lord. I think what's insinuated right there is that they hate the Lord.
Right.
Because why would you curse someone who doesn't love the Lord? They're not capable of loving the Lord if they're not saved. But someone, I'm talking about not saved, they don't know the gospel, they haven't even had a chance to really understand it, or someone, a soul winner has not come to them with the clear gospel, you know, they can't love, they don't have the capacity to love the Lord. They don't even know how. However, someone who's been given clear Bible doctrines, and they've rejected it, according to Romans chapter 1, guess what? They become a hater of God.
Yeah.
Therefore, if they don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 5, verse number 9. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You see, we need to come to the consensus that there are people that hate God. You can't stick your head in the sand and think, oh, well, everyone loves God to a certain extent. That's not true.
Right.
There's
right.
people out there that literally hate God.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about people who are just blind and the God of this world has blinded their minds and their hearts and they can't understand the gospel because there's not a clear presentation of it. I'm talking about people who literally hate God.
Amen.
And God says there, I'm going to visit them.
Yep.
To the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You know why? Because they're cursed.
Amen.
Now go to Romans chapter number 1. Brother David, if you can turn on the AC, please. And look, Paul the Apostle is one of the greatest Christians of the New Testament. He's a man of God.
Amen.
And we ought to follow his example, amen?
Amen?
And you know what he said? Let him be anathema. Let him be cursed.
Amen.
It could be that, you know, Aramaic was his native language. So guess what? In anger, as he's speaking this in Greek, he just slips into his native language and said, let him be anathema. You know, when you can't figure out the word and you're in that second language that you learn, you say it in the language you do know.
Amen.
Which has more weight to it because you see how pissed off he is about it. Because if any man love not the Lord, let him be anathema. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse number 30. It says, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Listen to, just let that sink into your minds. That second characteristics is that they're haters of God. That's someone who does not love the Lord. Go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And look, men of God throughout the Bible have cursed people righteously.
Amen.
Okay? And I believe we ought to as well. Now look, I don't think we should curse people who are not who the Lord hath not cursed.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of people we can curse who the Lord has already cursed.
Amen.
Okay, and they're anathema, according to the Bible. But a perfect example of this is David. King David was a man after God's own heart. He's a sweet psalmist of Israel. There's so many titles that God has given to him. God blessed him abundantly. We cannot say that David was not a saved man. He was definitely, for sure, a saved man.
Amen.
I mean, we can accredit so much of what we've learned of God through David, through the Psalms, through different stories, and of course his failures, but more so his successes in the Christian life. We understand this is a very vital character in the Bible. People who liberals admire up and down as well. They love David. But you know what? That same David cursed people. Amen. That same David was the one who said, break their teeth. Amen. Let their children be fatherless.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, well, we should have stayed away from those imprecatory prayers. You know, I want to talk about how my heart panteth for thee as a heart. You know, all these, which I love those verses.
Amen.
But I've heard way too many preachings on that. And not enough sermons on like Psalm 69. Not enough sermons on the verses where he talks about hating those who hate the Lord. That's David too. And over again, he curses those who are already cursed. He curses those who hate the Lord. And guess what? We ought to follow that example as well. See, David didn't stick his head in the sand. He understood that there's people out there who hate the Lord and they're cursed. Let me give you an example of this. Romans chapter 11, verse number 7. This is a chapter that every Zionist Christian ought to memorize, meditate upon, dream about, learn of. Verse number 7 says, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So he makes a distinction between Israel and the election.
Amen.
And he says the rest were blinded. So if Israel is the election, I think it's modalists who probably interpreted it that way, huh? You know, they're one and the same, you know what I mean? Even though it makes a clear distinction right here that they're two separate people groups. There's Israel and then there's the election. Verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I mean, this is some pretty harsh things that he's saying right here. You know, someone made a comment about Tyler Baker, or it was Brother Chevy. He's like, man, I hope his children become fatherless, his wife a widow. And people hopped all over him because of that. How can you say that? And I jumped in there on Instagram and I said, no, what he said was biblical.
Amen.
Let me give you the verse, I said.
Amen.
That was completely biblical what he said.
Yep.
It's correct. The words of the Lord are pure words. I mean, for you to say that he was wrong for that, you probably should say that David was wrong for that.
Right.
In that case, why don't you say the Holy Ghost is wrong for allowing that to be penned?
Right.
You see, this sermon is about checking those who have compassion on heretics and false prophets.
Right.
You know, sympathizing with these false heretics. You need to get your head out of the sand and realize there's evil people out there who we're not to sympathize with.
Amen.
Go to Psalm 69. What do they do with Romans 11, verse 7 through 10? What do they do with that? He's preaching. You know, people say, pray for Israel. Well, yeah. David prayed for Israel, right? He prayed hard against them. Okay? He prayed that their table would be made a snare. That means a trap. And he says right there, a trap, a stumbling block, and a recompense of them. I mean, you talk about hatred. He's like, man, I hope they just get trapped. I hope they stumble. I pray that God would destroy them. In fact, he even goes as far as to say, I hope that their names would get blotted out of the book of life.
Amen.
Hateful.
Amen.
How can you say something like that? Well, he says it. And in fact, Romans 11 doesn't even record the entire prayer yet.
Right.
He only gets like a small portion of it. Paul, but you know what? Paul knew the Bible. And it's not like, oh, you know, this is a little too offensive. No, no, no. Because he's quoting Moses. He's quoting Elijah. Amen. He's quoting Isaiah. He's quoting all these people in Romans 10, at the latter end of Romans 10, and in the beginning of Romans chapter 11. So I guess he's got to just, you know, pile all these prayers against Israel into one chapter. But if we actually go back into the Old Testament where these things are taken from, you see the severity of the anathema.
Amen.
That David is actually given to these people. Look at Psalm 69 and verse 22. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Man, he said, that which should be good for them, let it just be transformed into something bad. You should pray for them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. I just thought about someone right there when I read that. continually to shake, you know, tremble, scared. Verse 24, pour out thy indignation upon them and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate and let none dwell in their tents. He's like, don't even let their houses exist.
Yeah.
It's not like, just make them go away, move to some island. No, he's like, don't even give them a place to live.
Right.
Verse 26, for they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those who thou hast wounded. Now, this is, who's that talking about?
Christ.
Amen. So what is he saying? Those who don't love the Lord, let them be anathema.
Amen.
Verse 27, add iniquity unto their iniquity and let them not come into thy righteousness. Okay, iniquity is just bad enough as it is.
Right.
He goes, but why don't you go in and cake on that iniquity some more? You know?
Amen.
Verse 28, here's the coup de grace right here. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous.
Amen.
What is it? What is that supposed to, I mean, is that like a VIP? Yeah, it's a VIP to heaven.
Right.
And he said, don't even let them be saved. Because when you're saved, your names don't get blotted out of the book of life.
Amen.
It's in the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. He's saying, don't let them come. So this is the way it works, because my personal belief is that everyone's name is written in the book of life.
Amen.
Even people who are unsaved. Right. They get blotted out once they die and they have rejected Christ. They get blotted out of the book of life.
Yep.
But there's people who actually get blotted out before that.
Yep. Yeah.
Where the Bible says that they're twice dead, plucked up by the roots.
Amen.
And what is the anathema that David has for these people? He says, let them be blotted out now, is what he's saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out of the book of life. You know, that's a curse.
Yeah.
Now, that's not loving. That's not kind. That's not being long-suffering. And, you know, what are you doing, David? If any man love not the Lord, if you hate him, then let him be anathema. You see, he's simply asking something that they already want themselves. You know, you want to hate the Lord? Okay, go for it. You be cursed then. Go to hell. Go to hell then. You know, these people who fight us on doctrine, on salvation, and all these other doctrines that we hold dear, like the Trinity, let them go to hell then.
Amen.
If that's what you want, fight us all you want, but you can go to hell if you want. Because that's what you want. That's what they're sealing for themselves.
Yep.
You know, they can come up with all their postulations and hypotheses and all these things of you know, well, you know, this is why we believe in oneness. Okay, then put it all in one bag, take it with you, and go to hell then.
Amen.
If that's what you want. Burn, if that's what you want. Okay, what is a curse? A curse is an utterance intended to punish or to harm upon someone. Now, let me make myself clear that I don't believe in physically harming someone because they disagree with us.
Yeah.
You know, this guy on YouTube, he's over here threatening me, backhand you and all these things. And you know, these YouTube cowards, you know, they never post their real name, they never post their profile pic. And when he said that, I said, 2600 Tyler Avenue.
Amen.
El Monte, California.
Amen.
My name is Bruce Mejia. Stop by. Because you say, well, are you threatening him too? No, I'm just telling him. Because the fact remains is that he's a stinking coward.
Yeah.
And none of them are ever going to step foot in this door, in his house. Because if they do, guess what's going to happen? They're going to get thrown out.
Amen.
And there are big shots all behind the screen.
Yeah. Yep.
They like talking big talk behind the screen. You know why? Because modalists and heretics, they're all cowards. They're all weaklings.
Amen.
Who live in their mother's basement.
Yep. Right.
Probably don't even pay rent. They don't have a job. Yep. They troll Pastor Anderson's channel and all the channels in our movement. They have nothing better else to do than to comment on our channels and troll. Well, you know what? Let them be anathema.
Amen.
You know, comment on my channel if you want. Say the most vulgar of things if you want to say. Put it in a bag. Take it with you and go to hell if that's what you want.
Amen.
So go to Galatians chapter number 3. So we need to understand this, because people think, oh, you're just being, I love. No, I'm not going to be sympathetic towards heretics.
Amen.
And that's the problem. Look, the old IFB could look at what happened today and say, oh, see all that stuff going on in the new IFB, and that's what they get. But here's the thing. When a heretic or a pedophile gets found out in our churches, we throw them out immediately.
Amen.
And in fact, we'll preach a sermon and call them out in the sermon.
Right. Amen.
We'll let him know. We'll post it on YouTube tonight.
Yep.
I'm not going to call Dave Gibbs.
Yeah.
And say, how do you think I should go about this whole thing?
Right.
You know? No. This guy's a pedophile. He's a heretic. He's out.
Amen.
Whereas in the old IFB, what do? They just sweep it under the rug.
Right.
They try to polish the rotten apple. You know, make it look all nice. Put potpourri on the rotten apple to make it not stink as much as it already does.
Right.
See, the thing is, God has already promised us that heretics, reprobates, were going to infiltrate the church.
Yep.
They come in unawares. And look, I was talking to my wife about this. When the Bible says they come in unawares, sometimes we take that phrase for granted.
Yeah.
Unawares means like you won't see them coming. So whoever you're suspecting, that's probably not them.
Right.
You're not suspecting that. If you're suspecting them, that's probably not them. Why? Because they come in unawares. No one knows it's them.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, is it's going to happen.
Yep.
It's going to happen in the old IFB church. It's going to happen in the new IFB church. Here's where we differ. How do you respond to it?
That's right.
And how fast do you respond to it?
Right.
Okay. Do you wait like a week? Oh, we got to have a secret meeting with him first. You know, get him out. We're not ashamed of kicking anybody out.
Amen.
We need to do what needs to be done, and we confront it right up. I've had people in this church who come to this church, who come from different churches, and they come with contentions from other churches. You can talk to them. We confront them right away.
Yep.
Why? Why not? Or people who visited other churches from our church, and maybe there are some scuffles there. Guess what? When they come back, they get confronted right away.
Amen.
You say, are you trying to be a bully in the church? No, we're just trying to nip it at the butt. So nothing ever grows out of that. And the problem with the old IFB churches is this. They just let, I guarantee you, 100%, that there's oneness heretics in all kinds of old IFB churches.
Right.
And the pastors probably know that they're there, but they can care less.
Right.
I was talking to Pastor Anderson today. I was like, they're all over there. He's like, what? Really? I said, yeah. I said, you know that wicked woman, that modalist that always trolls and all that stuff? And he told me that. I was like, yeah, her. I was like, she's at Lancaster Baptist Church. She even talked to Paul Chappell himself, and he was just like, you know, whatever about it. You know, and he's like, man. I was like, so, and he told me, he goes, well, at least we're not like Jack Treiber, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Once we found out, boom, he got fired.
Amen.
Preach a sermon and call his name out from the pulpit.
Amen.
That's the difference. You see, we can't keep reprobates out if we don't, every single reprobate out. We can't keep every single false prophet out when they first come in if we don't know. But once we know, then we can handle it. You see, because we have the attitude of, oh, this person's cursed. Oh, this person can't be within the congregation of God.
Right.
Throw him out. Let him be anathema.
Amen.
And we're not trying to reform him. But here's the thing is, let me just say this, is that all of us at one point, obviously, we're under the curse of the law. Okay? Because sometimes people like to like throw that out there. But here's the thing. We're all under the curse of the law. But look what the Bible says at Galatians 3:8. It says in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So it's telling us there that everyone was under a curse of God before they were saved. Why? Because we were on our way to hell.
Yep. Yeah.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him, the Bible says. That's the curse that's on you. But because Christ became that curse for us, we no longer have to suffer that curse. You say, so why are you saying that these people are cursed? Because they've rejected the fact that Christ was made a curse for them. And they're deciding to be the curse themselves. You see what I'm saying? Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 11. You'll see this. So we understand, yeah, all of us were under the curse of the law at one point. But once we get saved, we're no longer under that curse.
Amen.
Because we've accepted the fact that Christ was made a curse for us.
Amen.
All right? Yes. Deuteronomy 11:26 says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 21. By the way, in the Old Testament, I believe it's in the book of Deuteronomy. I might be wrong. There's an entire chapter of curses.
Yep.
It's like, you're cursed if you do this. And curse. I mean, I'm talking about every single verse. Look up the, is that chapter 28? Chapter 28 of Deuteronomy has verse after verse after verse of cursings. Well, God is a loving God, but guess what? He says, I've set before you a blessing and a curse. Here's the difference. You choose. You choose. So why would I sympathize with a person who chooses the curse? That's what you wanted. He wrote an entire chapter telling you, these are the curses. And for you to just blatantly say, no. I want the curse. Okay, then be anathema.
Amen.
Be cursed. But don't expect anybody on this side to sympathize with you if you are.
Right.
Deuteronomy 21, 23 says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, excuse me. Let me go to Deuteronomy. I'm reading from something else. Deuteronomy. Christ is in the Old Testament, by the way.
Amen.
I got the wrong notes. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Verse 23, the Bible says here, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. Well, that's what that's referring to in Galatians.
Yep.
Okay? That thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. And I'm reading you from Galatians. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, be made curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So he took that curse for himself. So the difference between us and the heretics are the fact that we're saved.
Amen.
We've accepted the curse that he took upon himself. Okay. Now, go to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. Because I want to explain, I want to make sure that we understand that we just can't curse anybody.
Right.
Even a person who doesn't agree with us on specific doctrines, you know, for instance, if on end times,
yeah.
We can't necessarily say that they're reprobates. They're not. We can't say that they're like a bunch of heretics if someone just is fooled by these doctrines.
Yeah.
Okay? Why? Because it's not a doctrine dealing with salvation, obviously. Okay? So there's certain times where we can't curse people. Look at Numbers 23, verse 5. It says, and the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. Look at the response. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? Now let me read to you from Romans 12, 14, where the Bible says, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. So obviously people who defraud us, people who do us wrong when it comes to money or whatever, you know, we ought to bless them and not curse them.
Amen.
Okay, people who maybe don't necessarily get along with us, not for doctrinal reasons. I'm talking about just for life reasons.
Right.
You know, they did you wrong or whatever. They didn't pay you a certain amount of money that you needed or whatever it may be. Just let yourself be defrauded, but bless them and curse not.
Amen.
But the Bible says here that there, he says this, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed, insinuating that there are people we can curse whom God has cursed.
Amen.
Okay. Now, let's see here. Go with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter number 1. And we do have a problem with this because sometimes if we're not careful, we're so hasty in spirit that we start cursing those who really God has not cursed.
Right.
We need to be careful with that. Okay? Just don't call everyone a reprobate who doesn't agree with you.
Right. Yeah.
Right? He's like, oh, that guy's a faggot. That guy's a reprobate for sure. No, I mean, people are allowed to disagree with you. You know what I mean? Just because they don't see eye to eye with you on every single thing or whatever doesn't mean they're a reprobate.
Yeah.
Look, I would even say someone who doesn't believe the reprobate doctrine is not a reprobate.
Amen.
They're just, you know, they just don't know, you know, or they decided to turn a blind eye to it.
Yeah.
Say people could get into false doctrine all the time, okay? And I believe that as they turn away from the truth, more truth will be taken from them, you know, because they stop esteeming the Word of God and the teachings of the Bible. But someone who doesn't agree with you on every single aspect on being a reprobate or whatever it may be, it doesn't mean they're a reprobate themselves. So we got to be careful not to curse them. And again, people could get pretty far. I'm talking about unsaved people could get pretty far without becoming a reprobate still.
Amen.
So don't think people come a reprobate like night and day. Like, no, it happens over a process of time, obviously. But the mercies of God, I think, are on people's lives so they can come to the knowledge of the truth. You think of Paul. Paul persecuted the church. He was injurious. The Bible says he was a blasphemer. I think maybe sometimes if Paul, that kind of Paul was here today, we'd say, oh yeah, that guy's for sure a reprobate. Because he's like arresting Christians and doing all these wicked things. But he wasn't a reprobate. He got saved.
Right.
So we got to make sure that we have our facts straight before we call someone cursed, before we label someone anathema, right? But there comes a point where you talk to someone and you do give them clear scriptures about salvation, for example.
Amen.
Clear scriptures about the Trinity, for example.
Amen.
And they're just like, nah. Yeah. They're like, no, it's oneness. No, it's by works. And it's just like, okay, let me show you some more verses. You know, Genesis 1. John 1.
Right.
Which John 1 is for the babe in Christ.
Amen.
That's how I learned the Trinity.
Yep.
You know, I learned it. I was like, oh, okay. I know Jesus is the Word. I guess he's God as well. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep. Yep.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
He put the cookie on the on the floor for me.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's deeper doctrine that you can learn even after that to understand the Trinity a lot better. But after you've gone through Genesis 1, John 1, 1 John chapter 5, you know, Hebrews 1:8, and all these scriptures that just like shout Trinity. At that point, we're not passing unrighteous judgment.
Amen.
That person is anathema. That person is cursed. That person is a reprobate for
Amen.
Sure.
Amen.
Okay. Now, so there are those who are already cursed of God. We mentioned that. Who is that? Well, the false gospel preacher, obviously. Galatians 1:7 says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So he says, that which we have preached and that which you have received, if they don't get those things, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Just reinforcing this principle that you just don't sympathize with the false gospel preachers.
Amen.
Or they're just a little off. Paul said, let him be accursed.
Amen.
If that's what they want to believe, they want to believe it's repent of your sins, it's a works-based salvation, let him be accursed.
Amen.
This guy on YouTube, he's like commenting, talking about, he's an idiot. And he's over here, you know, answer these, you know, verses. And I've heard him comment before, and it was about works, basically. And I said, why am I going to cast my pearls before swine? And then all of a sudden he changes his tone. He goes, oh, but I want to know about eternal security. You know, I'm looking for the truth. I said, I put laugh out loud. I said, I was like, you're a piece of crap.
Amen. Yeah.
I said, I've seen you comment on other channels. I was like, you're not sincere.
Yeah.
You're wicked.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
You know, they want to come under the guise of being sincere. Don't give me that. I wasn't born yesterday. I didn't fall off the pickle truck yesterday.
Right.
I'm not stupid. I've seen your stupid comments before. You damn reprobate. I've seen the vulgar, wicked things you say on YouTube. Anathema.
Amen.
Just let him be anathema. Oh, but I want to know the truth. Then go look for it. Go look for it. Memorize John 3:16.
Right.
Memorize every single eternal security verse you want. Because you're never going to get it.
Right.
You're anathema. So I'm not going to waste my time with you. Why is that? Because anybody who preaches a different gospel is a curse, according to God.
Amen.
Why? He said, why would God say something like that? Because the gospel, of course, through Jesus Christ, is the focal story of the Bible.
Amen.
Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
So if this is the prime reason why he came to seek and to save that which is lost, it's an important message of the Bible.
Amen.
And for someone to come and mar that message, that ticks God off a lot.
Yep.
To the point where he says, fine, if you're not willing to accept that I sent my son Jesus Christ to die for you, to pay for your sins, and you think you can work your way, go to hell then.
Yep.
God will never say that. You know what? Yeah, he would.
Because
he says in Matthew chapter 7, depart from me,
right,
ye that work iniquity.
Yep.
In Matthew chapter 5, he says the same thing. He cursed into everlasting fire. Let me put those to you. Let me put that phrase to you in modern terms. Go to hell. Ye curse. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Let him be anathema. You know, and I think every single Christian needs to grow in their compassion for others. I think we need to be able to love others, those who are unlovable, okay? But I don't think we need to be naive. You know, and just be ignorant and be so snowflakey that we just accept every single false doctrine that comes our way. Right. You know, if they are a false teacher, i.e. Garrett Kirschway.
Yeah.
Man.
You know, I like Garrett. I liked him at one point. I thought he was a great man. You know, I esteemed him as a friend. Him and I kept in contact. He was my supervisor, you know. But if he believes in oneness, then okay, then let him be anathema.
Amen.
That's what he wants. Because here's the thing, it's not just, well, maybe he just differs on the Trinity. It's not about that. If you can listen to a whole entire year of preaching on modalism and what the Bible says about the Trinity, and you still think it's a little different, it's nothing major, then you're anathema as well.
Amen.
By the way, if anyone here believes that, you need to get the hell out of this church.
Amen.
Right.
Okay? If anyone sympathizes with Garrett Kirschway, with Dominique Davis, or with Tyler Snaker, or any one of these modalists, get out.
Amen.
We don't want you here. I don't care if I've known you for years or if I've just known you for a couple of months, get out of here.
Amen.
Okay? Because I don't understand how someone can listen to so much preaching on the Trinity and still believe that garbage of oneness. It doesn't make any sense. But the Bible tells us this. Look what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2. It says, "But there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." So yes, denying the Lord means they didn't get saved, but you know what it also means? To deny the Lord is to not get saved, but it's to deny who he is as well.
Right.
You're denying that he came in the flesh.
Yep. Yep.
You're saying that he's the Father. You know what you're doing? You're denying the Lord.
Yep.
So it's not just, you say, well, I thought that was in reference to salvation. It is in reference to salvation. Because to get saved, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
That he came in the flesh.
Right.
That he's not the Father.
Amen.
Not this Jewish God.
Right.
That these modalists believe.
That's right. That's good.
They've denied the Lord that bought them, who died for them.
Amen.
Skip down to verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. That's a curse. Speak evil of the things that they understand not.
Yeah.
You know, when they laugh, how God sent his Son to die for us, how they're laughing it up and laughing about it. What are they doing? They're speaking evil of the things that they understand not.
Yeah.
And shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, hell. As they that counted a pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. You know, I think I had lunch with Garrett Kirschway. He just ate with us like it was nothing. Knowing full well. Being paid by Faith Forward Baptist Church, just getting the money, and by the way, which is a characteristic of a false prophet.
Right.
Amen.
They're lovers of money.
Yeah.
Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Look at this. Cursed children. God says, man, they're cursed.
Yep.
These are evil, wicked people. Oh, but he's so nice. No. Listen. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema.
Amen.
But he was so humble, he was lying.
Yep.
He's a liar.
Amen.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that they're full of deceit.
Yeah.
There's some stinking good liars is what they are. They're professional liars. Okay? You say, well, what's the curse? If he's saying they're cursed children, you know, what's the curse? Is the curse is that they just don't know the Bible? Or that, you know, what's the curse that God is placing on them? Look at verse 15. which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. What is that talking about? Hell. The lake of fire is what that's referring to. So what's the curse? God says, I'm not even going to wait till you die to blot your name out of the book of life.
Yep.
I'll just do it right now. Yeah. I'll just reserve a spot for you in the lake of fire.
Yep.
You know, you get a free pass, a fast pass. What is that what they call it? Is that a fast pass at Six Flags, right? What? Flash pass. You know, you buy a flash pass, fast pass, whatever you call it, so you can get on the rides faster.
Yep.
You don't have to wait in line.
Yep.
Right? It's like, I got my flash pass, and then you just pass up everyone in line, and you get to go on the ride sooner than everyone else. Well, you know what reprobates are?
Yeah.
They got themselves a fast pass
yep.
to hell.
Yeah.
God says, don't worry about it. You love the wages of unrighteousness? I got something reserved for you. I'll just go ahead and blot out your name right now, and then when you die, bam. You got yourself a place waiting for you right away.
Yep.
Go to Jude. See, I already know these verses, but we need to talk about this.
Amen.
We need to freshen up on this. And listen, read the verses. Look down at your Bibles when we're looking at this so you can see it for yourself.
Amen.
Look at verse number 12. It says, these are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds that they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Twice dead. You say, why does it say twice dead? Because for the wages of sin is death. That first death is referring to hell.
Yep.
But what does the Bible say in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, right? It says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that's talking about the second death. So they're twice dead. So these are people who are still alive right now, but they're twice dead. That means they're already, in God's eyes, they're already that first death, and they're already reserved for that second death as well.
Yep.
Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. He says, I've reserved it just for you. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter number 6. We shouldn't have sympathy for these guys.
Amen.
Never have sympathy for a false prophet. You know, and you know, now it's just like after I heard this news, I'm like, I'm going back all those times I interacted with him. And things that that maybe, you know, a red flag popped up or something like that. You know, or you know, conversations that I may have had with him. I remember when we were in here and he was just like trying to scare Alex and he's like, yeah, you guys are gonna have reprobates on the first day. Well, you know what? He's right. In fact, we had him before we even had our first day.
Right.
We're in front of a reprobate that very moment.
Yep.
You know, you guys are going to have reprobates the very first day here. You know, he's like, wow, we are, huh? Oh, okay. Little did we know. He prophesied. That's the only thing that he said that was true, amen? Because
yep.
He was the first reprobate. He was here before the rest of the church members ever even got here. Matthew 6, verse 24. So what's one of the things that false prophets, what is their motive? Obviously, they have eyes full of adultery, but the Bible says they love money.
Yeah.
Look what the Bible says, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So you know what the Bible tells me there? Because he loves money, reprobates, they despise, they hate God. He said, how do you know they hate God? Because they love money. Even to the point where they're willing to be on the payroll of a church that believes completely different from what they believe. They're willing to pay lip service and act like they're a worker of the church just to get money. Now you think to yourself, that's hard for me to believe. It's because you're saved, that's why. See, a saved person is just like, that's insanity. How can someone be so wicked to do something like that? Because that's how reprobates act.
Yeah,
that's how someone who's anathema acts. Someone who's saved can't do something like that. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 2. We'll compare it real quick. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. Verse number 2 says, "And many shall follow the pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." You know, since I got saved, I've known about the Trinity. It was something that everyone accepted. I got saved in a Baptist church, and Baptists, as far as I know, have always accepted a Trinitarian view of the Godhead.
Amen.
It's never been something that's ever been questioned. It's something that everyone spoke about, from the most spiritual Christian to the most lukewarm Christian to the most carnal Christian. Right. All across the board, everyone accepted the doctrine of the Trinity. But what's going on now? Now the truth of the Trinity is being evil spoken of. As if it's some satanic teaching. Verse 3, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." And again, in verse 15 says, "Which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, fallen the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." You know why they love the wages of unrighteousness? Because they hate God.
Yeah.
That's why. You say, "Man, I can't." I know, because you're saved. Now, if you can sympathize with him, it's like, well, I get where he's coming from, then come talk to me right after the service.
Yeah.
I'd like to chat with you. If you're like, I know Brother Garrett, and I know him, and him and I are friends, and all these things, then come talk to me right after the service. Because if he can say what he said, and take the stance that he took, and you still sympathize with that, come see me right after the service.
Right.
In fact, see me right at that door, right after the service.
Amen.
Go to 1 John chapter 4. And let me make it very clear that anyone who denies the Trinity is cursed.
Amen.
I've never heard that before. Yeah, because we never had to talk about it before. We've never had to talk about this before. But the fact remains, anyone who denies it, you say, well, you're just saying that if we don't believe like you believe. No, if you don't believe what the Bible says.
Amen.
Don't come at me with these stupid semantics of words. Well, you know, we're just saying something different. No, we're not.
Amen.
Okay? I'm saying what the Bible is saying, and you're saying something contrary to what the Bible says.
Amen.
But anyone who denies the Trinity is cursed. Why is that? Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says here, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." So it's telling us, hey, you know, you need to make sure you're paying attention. You got to make sure you're paying attention to what's being taught, what's being preached. You know, try every spirit. And it says, why? Because there's a lot of false prophets out there.
Right.
Then he inserts verses 2 and 3, just coincidentally, of course. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." So he didn't put verse 1 there on accident. Verse 3, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, Amen. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." Right. So it's making a correlation with the verse number 3, those who deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, with the false prophet that has gone out among us in verse number 1.
Yeah.
So guess what? What do false prophets teach? That Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh. It was God the Father who came in the flesh. You're satanic if you're saying that God the Father did not come, that Jesus Christ, that God the Father is not in Jesus Christ, that they're not one. No, no, you're satanic.
Amen.
And you're of the Antichrist. And the Bible says that's why you're a false prophet, because you're denying that he came in the flesh. Jesus Christ existed in heaven. They're not just blended. They're not Siamese gods. Where they're just stuck to one another. And then they got separated when Jesus Christ was born. No. These three are one.
Amen.
But guess what? You said, there you go, they're one. Yeah, but these three. Let me count for you. 1, 2, 3. He's making a distinction. Why didn't he say these one are one? Right? If it's just one, these one are one. No, he specifically said these three are one. Now, you're in 1 John. Go to 1 John chapter 2. And relate this to what is going on now. Because I think this is very relevant to this. Verse 18 says, "Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us." but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Seems makes a lot of sense of what's going on today, right?
Yeah.
But let's read on. Verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son.
Amen.
So according to this verse, who's the one that went out from us? The one that denied the Father and the Son. Plain and simple. So don't tell me that these are sincere guys or just a little off. No, they're Antichrist.
Amen. That's right.
You're just saying that to be popular. It says it right there.
Right.
He's saying that they're Antichrist because they deny the Father and the Son.
Yep.
Yeah, we talk about the Jews and how that applies to the Jews, rightfully so. But guess what? The modalists believe just like the Jews.
Right.
Does that make sense to everyone?
Yes.
They're denying the Father and the Son. Go to 2 Chronicles, Proverbs 24, excuse me. Go to Proverbs 24. What am I saying today? I'm saying, look, after today, you should have no sympathy. If there is a smidge of sympathy for Garrett, a smidge of sympathy for Dominique, I don't know how you can have a smidge of sympathy for Tyler, but if there was a smidge of sympathy for Tyler, that should be cured today.
Amen.
Why? Because if they don't love the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema.
Amen.
If Paul, one of the most loving apostles, one of the most loving Christians of the New Testament can say that, so should we.
Amen.
So when someone says, oh, you should just pray for Tyler, you say, yeah, I am going to pray for Tyler.
Right.
I'm praying for Garrett. I'm praying for Dominique. Pray that they die.
Amen.
I pray that they are fast passed, takes them faster to that ride to hell than
Amen.
Ever before.
Amen.
I want them to get in the front of the line.
Come on.
I can't believe you just said that. Let him be anathema.
Amen.
So, and this is another sermon just to really, this is a sermon just to say, let's not get discouraged.
Amen.
Just let him be anathema.
Amen.
We're not anathema.
Amen.
Look, we're going to have a good time after church.
Amen.
We're going to be discussing doctrine. Tomorrow,
yeah.
We got the barbecue going
Amen.
On. We're going to enjoy the things of God here.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're going to sing a song afterwards.
Yep.
We're going to keep living life.
That's right.
Having a good time. But what about all that stuff that's going on? Let it be anathema.
Amen.
Let him be cursed. But aren't you worried about him? Maybe he got sucked into that doctrine?
No.
No. Let it be anathema.
Amen.
See, I know there's people who are sucked into that doctrine who maybe don't know better, but they're not necessarily defending it. Maybe they're just confused on it. But when you start like putting on the boxing gloves and fighting the Trinitarian view, you know, why the Orthodox Trinitarian view is not correct. You know, you're posting videos and trying to refute Trinitarian. You're just telling them, you just have a red flag above your face that says anathema.
Amen.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But let me say this in closing. Those who support these wicked modalists are cursed as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Don't support them because those who do are cursed.
Yep.
Okay. Unless you come, I mean, if you have listened to no sermon on modalism, if you don't know what the Bible says about modalism and you're a brand new Christian, okay, you're not cursed, but you need to get some smarts and start studying what the Bible says about
Amen.
The subject of the Trinity.
Amen.
But if after all that, you still decide to just fight and expose the Trinity for what it is and all these things and how it's unbiblical, then you're just, and you're backing up these heretics, you're cursed too then.
Amen.
Even if you don't wax as eloquent as these false teachers do.
Right.
You know, if you're the only one just backing them up on YouTube and commenting and backing them up and backing them up and all these things, okay, then you're cursed too. Why? Look at Proverbs 24:24 says, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, Garrett. Good job for taking a bold stand. What do you mean bold stand? Pastor Anderson caught him.
Yeah.
That's not bold.
Right.
Amen.
The guy didn't have the stones.
Right.
Yep.
He was going to continue to earn a paycheck.
Yep. Wow.
Pastor Anderson had to find him out.
Yep.
Same thing with Dominique. Had to text.
Yep.
Pastor Anderson, they believe him. He didn't have the guts, the stones to come and just face him face to face and say, hey, I'm a motorless. What now? No, just text it. Coward.
Amen.
He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse.
Yep.
Nations shall abhor him. He said, what nation? The chosen generation.
Right.
The chosen nation. The royal nation. We will curse you.
Amen.
Why? Because shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord. Therefore, wrath is upon thee. From before the Lord.
Amen.
Well, if you can't beat them, join them. Then go ahead. Join them. Go for it. Go. Yeah, we'll get you a fast pass too. God will get you a fast pass too. You know, you can go to hell just like the rest of them. I don't like that, Brother Bruce, that you're just saying, tell them to go to hell. Isn't that a worldly term? No, because the one who created hell is God.
Amen.
And there's men of God who've said it throughout the Bible.
Yep. Good.
You know, let them go down quick
into
hell. Okay? Now, I like both interpretations of that.
Yep.
Quick meaning alive, and quick means fast.
Yep.
Let them go to hell quick. Wow. Obviously, that's just referring to them being alive, but hey, I'm good with the second interpretation of that.
Yep.
Let them go fast into hell.
Amen.
What's the sermon tonight? It's simply this. Hey, life is good, man.
Amen.
As a safe person is good, okay? And anytime, if there's an inkling of you just worrying or anxious over what's going on, you're like, I can't believe Dominique. He read the King James Bible. You know? Vaccination. I deleted vaccination today.
Amen.
I'll preach vaccination.
Amen.
That's right.
And then therefore, I'm not going to have to edit all the stuttering.
Amen.
He said, aren't you, man, but that thing had like thousands of views. So what?
Amen.
You think that's like the last documentary I'm going to make? I mean, sorry, Brother John. I mean, you helped me out on that one. He brought the red cam. He was there. We were like putting in work. Hey, but our labor is not in vain, man. We did it for the Lord.
Amen.
But you know what? We're not going to like boo-hoo about it. You know what we're going to say? Let him be anathema then.
Amen.
That's what you want? Go for it. Go to hell then if that's what you want.
Right.
We'll just make another one. So it's not a matter of, oh man, this is just a dark day for the new IFB. No, this is a good day.
Amen.
Because at least we're not deceived. It's like, oh, okay. The sheep's clothing is falling off. Well, now we know. Is it a bummer in a sense? Yeah, because we didn't know. But now that we know, it's not a bummer. Because it's like, now it's out in the open. Now we know that he's a false prophet.
Amen.
Right.
Okay. And look. Now, the thing you ought not to do is just start suspecting everyone in our church. Like, man, I wonder who's the Judas here. Ulysses. Is Ulysses. Is the, yeah. Marcos. That's right. You know, you start coming up with all. No. Trust no one, but suspect no one as well. Okay? And look, we ought to trust the Lord.
Amen.
And look, I mean, I'm sure Pastor Anderson trusted the Lord, and that's why Garrett came out as being a false prophet. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, it came out that he was revealed in that manner. So the sermon is simply this. We need to curse those who God curses. Just let it be anathema. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we're thankful for the severity of it. And the entire Bible speaks on this subject. I mean, the simple fact that hell exists, that's a place for the cursed. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to not sympathize with the wicked ever. And help us to always have our eyes, our hearts, our minds in the Word of God. Help us to meditate upon it, to think upon it, to quote it, to preach it, to live it, to love it. And Lord, help us never to get sucked into any false doctrine. But not only that, help us to be vigilant when these false prophets creep in unawares. We ought not to be always just paranoid of whether they're going to come in. We just ought to trust you and realize that when they do, you'll help us to discover them so that we can deal with it promptly. And thank you so much for blessing us. We're thankful that we're not anathema. We're not cursed. We're never going to experience hell ever again. And we praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.